Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the first part on the PHP on Azure series of webcasts. Today we'll be talking about a very interesting topic, namely scaling your PHP apps on Azure. The agenda for today is, first we're going to talk about a few general scalability concepts that apply to all web applications. Then we'll try to see how we can scale a PHP application that's hosted on virtual machines. And finally, we'll look at how we'll scale a PHP application that's hosted on Azure websites. We have lots of things to talk about today, so please pay attention. There will be lots of topics. If you have any questions, you can ask them in the Q&A pane. I'll try to answer all of the questions at the end of the session. Okay, so about scalability. Nowadays, there are two types of scalability. There is vertical scaling, when you just have one large server, for instance, hosting your application, and you keep adding resources to that server, resources like CPUs, memory, hard disks, stuff like that. So you just stuff the server and increase its power by adding more resources to it. This is pretty effective when you have a small server because components are pretty cheap and the costs scale linearly. So you pay twice the price of a two-core CPU compared to a one-core CPU having the same specifications. However, beyond a certain point, which is pretty low, the cost no longer scale linearly, so you have they'll scale exponentially. So you pay something like four or five times more for just double the resources, or with just 50% more resources. Additionally, vertical scaling has one major limitation, I think, and that most of the time, the server hosting the application is the single point of failure. So if that server fails, the whole application goes down with it. Everything from the PHP application, the web server, the database, everything you have hosted on it. In Azure, you can scale vertically, of course. You can just increase the instance size. The great thing about Azure is vertical scaling is linear scaling. So you pay twice the price for something that's two times bigger than what you currently have. Opposed to this is horizontal scaling. Horizontal scaling basically means adding resources identical to the one or similar to the ones you have to what you already have. So if you have a machine hosting your PHP application, you just add another machine that's similar to it and you install your application on that machine as well. The great thing about this type of scalability is that you don't have to buy expensive hardware. You can just keep adding cheap hardware. And of course, the price will scale linearly. So if you have five machines, it will be five times as expensive as having just one machine. And furthermore, it's a highly available setup. So if one of the machines fails in a five machine setup, you only lose 20% of the compute power. This is actually a very cloud specific way of doing things. In the cloud, horizontal scaling is favored in front of vertical scaling. Of course, you can scale vertically, but up to a certain point. Beyond that, it's recommended that you go for horizontal scaling. Okay. Now, in order to scale horizontally, adding multiple machines, of course, traffic has to be distributed to all those machines evenly. Azure has a concept called the Azure Load Balancer. So when you add machines to a certain service, Azure will make sure that the traffic is distributed pseudo-randomly to those machines. So if you have five machines, each of the machines will receive roughly 20% of the traffic. As you can see here, I've highlighted the Azure Load Balancer, and it sits in front of the PHP web servers and sends traffic evenly to the web servers. What's great about this load balancer is that it also checks for the machine's health. So if one of the machines is damaged, it will automatically remove the machine from the load balance. And also you can remove them manually if you want to. And all these machines are stored in a private virtual network in Azure, which allows them to communicate to each other on any port without exposing those ports to the outside world. So this is horizontal scalability. Today, I will show you a bit of vertical scalability. We've seen a bit of that in the previous webcast as well, when we increase the machine size. Today, we're going to focus on horizontal scalability and how that can be achieved for PHP applications. So the first requirement for an application to be scalable is for it to be somewhat stateless. So if I get one request from the user that goes on server A, server one, then the next request might go to server two. So the application has to be somewhat stateless, meaning that server two and server one each have to have either a centralized state where you keep all the information about what actions the user has performed, or it has to be stateless. So each action can be performed by any of the servers in the cluster. For PHP, there are currently two major challenges when you want to deploy to multiple machines. The first and the largest challenge that's faced by about any application is the session store. So as you probably know, when you want to save user information, you can use a cookie or you can use sessions. Like, sessions are stored on the server, but by default on PHP, session state is saved on disk, on local disk. So if you have five machines, each machine will have its own session state that will not be synchronized across machines. So if a user lands on one machine and at the next request he lands on another machine, then the second machine will not know about the actions he performed on the first machine, meaning that he could lose state, which can translate to things like shopping carts not being synchronized, users being logged out at random. And that's all because PHP stores all the session data by default on disk. Of course, there are some exceptions. The most notable one is Drupal, that by default comes with a session store in the database. So regardless of how many machines you have, all the session data will be stored in the central database and all the machines will read the session data from there. However, for most PHP applications, session is stored on disk. Now, of course, in order to achieve scalability with a PHP application, you have to make sure that session data is synchronized across machines. And in order to do that, you have two options. You either keep the session store on disk and somehow synchronize the files across all machines. And this is the first service we're going to talk about, which is Azure Files. Or you change the session storage system entirely and you store the session somewhere else, like for instance in Azure Table Storage. That's a very cheap way and highly scalable way of storing session data. We'll talk about Azure Table Storage a lot in our next webcast. Today we're going to focus on Azure Files. And the last option, and probably most of you are familiar with this, is Redis Cache. So if you want a low latency way of synchronizing all your sessions across machines, Redis Cache is a good option. Redis Cache is basically an in-memory cache that's provided as a service by Windows Azure, and you can have all the machines writing and reading session data from that Redis cache. Okay, so these are three ways you can use to achieve scalability at the session level for PHP. Another challenge that PHP applications face is handling file uploads. So just like with sessions, file uploads are stored on the local disk. So if a user uploads a file, the default file handler for PHP uploads the file to the local disk, meaning that file will only be visible to the machine where it was uploaded on. Just like with sessions, you'll have to find a way to synchronize files across the machines. And of course, in Azure, there are multiple ways you can do that. The first one is Azure Files, which, like I said, we're going to talk about today. Another great option is Azure Blob Storage. This is a dedicated file storage that comes with a web server built in, So all you have to do is publish the files using an SDK to it, and Azure will make sure that the files are served for you. So look at it like a highly scalable centralized file storage that can be either public or private, however you want it. So you can give anyone access to it, like your users, and put stuff like static files in their images, CSS files, and so forth. Or you can use it for storing private files for your applications, and only your application will have access to it using a specific token. We'll talk about more about blob storage in our next webcast. Today we're going to focus, like I said, on Azure Files. Okay, so I'm going to show you lots of tools today that might not seem related at all at the first glance, but in the end, you'll see how we're going to stitch them together to create a highly scalable web application. So the first tool we're going to use is like a container. It's called Azure Virtual Networks. What it basically is just a protected private network in the cloud. So Azure just offers a container where you can place resources and allow them to communicate with one another in a safe way, in a contained way, without access from the outside world. This virtual network that's provided by Azure, you can also link it to your on-premises data center. So if you already have some machines running in your data center, you can link the Azure virtual networks and the machines that you have and allow them to communicate over a secure channel without interference from the outside world. Now, there are quite a few scenarios in which you can use virtual networks. So the first one, and the one that we're going to showcase today, is just for grouping services in the Azure cloud. So if you have, for instance, an application composed of a web tier containing the web server and PHP application and the data tier made of a MySQL cluster, for instance, you can put all of them inside the virtual network, and they'll be able to communicate with each other on any port. However, you'll only open the AP port on the PHP and web server roles. So the first scenario is just grouping services in the Azure cloud and allowing machines to communicate securely. The second scenario is site-to-site connectivity. So if you want to have your Azure machines talking to your data center, the machines in your data center, you can just link them using site-to-site connectivity. Azure will create a gateway for you, which will link to the gateway in your data center. It will create a secure channel, and you'll just see your machines, your Azure machines, like they were in your data center. They'll have their own address space. You'll be able to talk to them on these private IP addresses without interference from the outside world. The first scenario is point-to-site connectivity. Here you'll just have individual machines, like for instance your work laptop, connected to the Azure virtual network, and you'll receive an IP that's specific to that virtual network, and you'll be able to connect the machines in the virtual network like you were in that network. And finally, there's Express Route. This one is a secured virtual network, but it's not over the public internet. So normally what you do when you create a virtual network, a site-to-site virtual network, is that connection is secured using IPsec, but data is transmitted over the public internet, which is pretty reliable, but not very predictable. If you need dedicated bandwidth, what you can do is use this Express Route service that links with different internet service providers throughout the world, and it will offer you a dedicated band that's separate from the public internet. As of now, it's rather limited in Europe, but it's extending rapidly, so we'll probably see Express Route very popular in Europe in the coming year. Okay, now let's start creating a virtual network and deploying resources to it. We're going to do that from the portal. So this is the management portal. I hope you've already gotten used to it. And today we'll be using the new service called Virtual Networks. I have already set up the virtual network for today in order to save time. However, I will set up another network just to show you how easy it is to do it. So what you do is go to New in the bottom side, Network Services, Virtual Network, and then you go to Custom Create. The first thing you need to do is enter a name for your virtual network. So let's call it PHP VNet. We'll have to provide the location for it. We'll select West Europe. It's located in Amsterdam. And now you have the option of either connecting it to your on-premises data center using a site-to-site VPN. You can check the point-to-site VPN, which will just create a gateway on the Azure side for you, and you can connect different machines to it, individual machines, so not an entire network like a site-to-site. And you can choose what DNS server you want to add for this virtual network. For now, we won't select any of these. We'll just use the virtual network as a container for our services. So we'll go ahead and start defining the subnets for virtual networks. So it's a good practice. You can have a virtual network made up of only one subnet. Subnets are a way of dividing the virtual network into multiple pieces, each with another responsibility. So what we'll be doing is having one subnet for each role that we're going to use. First of all, we need to select the IP range that we want for our virtual network. We're pretty happy with the 10.0.0.0 starting IP. However, we don't need these many IPs. By the way, these are IPs that only you will use. And we're going to select something like 256 IPs, internal IPs, just for this virtual network. And we're going to divide it in two subnets. So the first one will be the web subnet, where we'll keep all the PHP and web server machines, and we'll limit it to about 64 machines. Okay. And the second subnet is a DB subnet, where we'll host all the MySQL machines. And we'll limit this to 60 machines. All right. If you want additional address spaces, you can add them. You can also come back later to this subnet and add to this virtual network and add other subnets. You can see you can select other starting IPs, but for now we're going to stick with just this one virtual network. And the next thing we have to do is check create. So the virtual network is now creating. We won't wait for it to be created. I'll show you a virtual network that we've already created. So this is an existing virtual network with machines running in it. As you can see in the dashboard, there are three machines running in this virtual network. So we have two PHP machines running, each with a different IP address, of course, running in the subnet, and MySQL machine in a different subnet called the DB subnet. Right here, you can go to configure at any time and configure a point-to-site connectivity. You can even configure site-to-site connectivity from here at subnet, at address spaces. So it's okay if you configure the virtual network the first time. You can always come back to this and reconfigure the virtual network. All right, and as you can see, the virtual network was already created, so it took about 30 seconds. We'll be using this network now as a container for all our machines. All right, another service I told you about is cache. So Azure offers caching, a dedicated caching service that's based on Redis. It's actually running plain Redis. And you can go from as low as 150 megabytes cache up to 26 megabytes. What's great about it is that it's highly available. You have tiers, there's a basic key. You only have one Redis machine, but there's also the standard that offers highly available Redis. There's a master and a slave Redis with preparation set between them, of course. And then the master fails, the server takes over, and another slave is added to it, and all this is managed by the Azure service. You'll just get an Azure, a Redis endpoint that you'll have to connect to. The endpoint will be either SSL, via SSL, secured, or unsecured text. And you can use this Redis cache service to hold all your session data in it. We'll talk about the Redis cache in our next web, but for now, we just wanted to mention it. So if you're currently running a Redis machine, you can deploy a Redis cache in Azure, and Azure will take care of managing the service for you. You don't have to do anything. Right. Now, as I mentioned earlier, traffic is load balanced between machines. So if you have four machines hosting the server, traffic can be load balanced by Azure machines. However, you have to enable load balancing in Azure. So as you can see in this figure, traffic over the internet comes to a single public virtual IP hosted by Azure, and traffic from that IP goes to the load balancer. That's called the external load balancer because it's public facing. And then traffic is distributed among your front end roles. Additionally, you can have an internal load balancer, which only balances traffic from your machines that are hosted on Azure to other machines that are hosted on Azure. Good use case here is balancing traffic from multiple PHP machines to a MySQL cluster. So if you have three MySQL servers, for instance, and you want the PHP application to connect to any of these, you actually point it to the internal load balancer instead of pointing it to all the pre-servers. And the internal load balancer, of course, will do the health checking for you. So if one of the machines fails, it will take it out of the rotation. And additionally, if you add new machines, they'll automatically be registered with the internal load balancer. So this is a very interesting topic. We'll take a look briefly soon on how to do a load balancer in Azure. It's important to keep in mind that in order to have the SLA of 99.95% for virtual machines, you have to have at least one instance, at least two instances, sorry. So this is another reason why you have to make your apps scalable and use the external load balancer. So if you have just one virtual machine running your PHP application, it will have no SLA. It will not be covered by the virtual machines SLA. You have to have at least two machines, and the SLA for both machines is 99.95%. Okay. And now, this is what we're trying to achieve today. So we'll have, first of all, we'll create a load balancer. Next, we'll have PHP running on multiple machines connecting to a MySQL database. All of these machines will be running inside an Azure virtual network. And we'll have a centralized storage for file uploads using Azure Files, and a central session storage that will actually be Azure Files as well, but in a future session, we'll use Redis Cache just to show you the differences. Now, as you can see, I've mentioned the new service here, Azure Files. What Azure Files is a dedicated storage service provided by Azure that's exposed via the SMB 2.1 protocol. So you can have multiple machines, each reading and writing from the same share using the SMB protocol. Azure Files will make sure that content is synchronized across all these machines. Right, and it also offers a pretty good performance. It's about 1,000 IOPS, which is roughly double the performance of a standard disk on Azure. Now, when would you normally use Azure Files? So, of course, the most common scenario is when you want to share data across VMs, which is our scenario for today for sharing session data and uploads. So you have multiple writers, multiple readers. You don't want to be bothered with synchronizing data across machines using rsync, for instance, which is not the best option. at least not in a high concurrency environment. So Azure Files offer this seamlessly. It will just be exposed as a folder on your file system, and you'll use it like we've used all the other folders on Linux. Another option that's also great for scalability is sharing settings throughout services. So for instance, if you have an Nginx web server and you want to deploy a change to all the machines running the web server, say you have 20 machines, what you normally would do is go to each machine, start making the changes to the configuration, reload the web service, and do this 20 times in a row, or have a script that does it for you. What you can easily do is have the configuration published on Azure Files, and then just make the changes in one central place, and the changes will be automatically propagated to all the machines instantly. And of course, you can use it for dev, test, and debug, where you can have a shared disk between machines and just have the disk shared with a colleague. For instance, if you're creating some test data, you can just share the connection to the disk with your colleague, and he can see your test data and the state of your application. Okay, so in order to see the differences between what we call local disks, so disks attached to the machine, and Azure Files, which is a centralized storage space, we've put up this small table. So a disk is required. First of all, it's local to a machine. You cannot have a disk shared between machines. A disk can be used to host an operating system and have the machine boot from that disk. You cannot do that with Azure Files. Like I said, it's specific to a single machine, while the main scenario for Azure Files is having it shared with multiple machines. You have the option of snapshotting the disk, which is just almost instantaneous copy of the disk. You do not have that option with Azure Files, and there are quite a few other differences that I'll let you discover. But the main point is disks and Azure Files, they serve different scenarios. All right, with that being said, let's get to scaling a PHP application. So I'm going to switch to the portal again. One second. Okay, there we go. So as you can see, we currently have two virtual machines, which I've installed Nginx and PHP and a few PHP files on. One of the machines is receiving HTTP traffic, namely Azure PHP 01, if I'm not mistaken. And what the first thing we'll need to do is make sure that both of these machines receive traffic from the load balancer. So the first thing we have to do, of course, is create the load balancer. So let's see which one of these machines receives traffic on port 80. We'll go to this tab, endpoints. Apparently, it's not this one. As you can see, this one only has SSH connections allowed from the outside world. So there we go. We have Azure PHP 02. The second instance receives traffic on port 80, but it's not load balanced, as you can see here. Okay, so the first thing we need to do, we have to edit this port and make it a load balanced port. So we have the port here. Just have to check create a load balance set and name this load balancer. We just call it HTTP. And we'll have the probe check the health of the machines inside the load balancer every 15 seconds. And if a machine fails two checks, it will automatically be removed from the load balancer. Okay. So in a few seconds, we'll have the machine configured, and traffic will be sent via the load balancer to all the machines registered to the load balancer. For now, we only have this machine registered, as you can see. What we'll need to do is also register the Azure PHP 01 machine to the load balancer. But this can be done only after the load balance set was created. Okay, so we'll wait for a few seconds while this is happening. So we'll go to the first machine, we'll go to endpoints, and let's you have to add a new endpoint here because you don't have traffic on port 80. Unfortunately, the load balancer was not picked up yet, so we'll just have to wait a few moments while the change is made. Okay, there we go. Good, now we go to endpoints again and attempt to register this machine with a load balancer. As you can see, I will add a new endpoint. Right. The endpoint will be inside the load balancer. So it will just register this machine with a load balancer. All right, and now we have two machines registered on this port. If you want to see all the machines registered with the load balancer, you go to the cloud service. As you can see, both of these machines were created under the same cloud service, so they have the same DNS name. So we go to that cloud service, Azure CE PHP. And we go to instances. And as you can see, we have two instances. All right. Good. So this was the load balancing. Now let's check that it works, of course. We'll just take the URL here. There we go, welcome to Nginx. And now we'll log on to one of these machines, create a file, and make sure that that file is visible. So I'll use PuTTY again. Let me just close this. I'll log into the first machine, for instance. Okay. Let's go to the Nginx root web folder. See all the files that are in there. And we'll just let's create a folder in there. Let's create a static file, in fact. It's called hello.txt. And let's just say, right. All right. And now let's attempt to access that file. It worked. However, because we have two machines in the load balancer, as you can see, this request landed on the second machine. So we created a file, a static file on the first machine, and content was not synchronized to the second machine. So we have to find a way of synchronizing content across these machines. So the first thing I'll need to do is that make sure that all the files that I need to synchronize are hosted inside a single folder. So I'll create a folder here. Let's call it static. And I'll move the hello file here. Good. The next thing I'll have to do is create a file share, an Azure file share, and point the share to this folder to make sure that content is synchronized to all the others, other machines registered with the file share. So in order to do that, unfortunately at the moment, that is not possible via the portal. So you'll have to do that on Windows using Microsoft Azure PowerShell tools or on Linux using the cross-platform command line tools. In the resources you receive after this webcast, there will be the URL to download these tools. Okay, so in order to create a file share, the first thing we need to do is make sure that the PowerShell tools have access to the Azure subscription we're attempting to manage. So the first thing we need to do is download the management certificate that allows us to make changes to the subscription. In order to do that, we have to issue a command called get Azure publish settings file. When you press enter now, it will just open the browser for you and it will download the file. I already have that file downloaded on my local computer on desktop. Let me just show you, here it is. And what we'll have to do is import this management certificate. So I'll import Azure Public Settings file like this. And it will tell you that it imports one subscription. So starting now, I can manage this subscription. And we'll have to select the subscription we want to manage. All right, And now we can start managing the services inside this subscription using Microsoft Azure PowerShell. Let me just, after you imported the certificate, it's a good practice that you delete it, because this stores your key, the management certificate, and if somebody else grabs their hands on this key, they can manage all the services for you. Okay. Good. The next thing we'll have to do is create the Azure files. Share. Share is hosted inside an Azure storage account. So the first thing you need to do actually is go to the storage account and create a new storage account. So from new, data surfaces storage, quick create. I already have one storage account created. It usually takes a couple of minutes. That's why I've created it in advance. I called it Azure PHP files, and this will be the container for our Azure files shares. And what you'll need to do is take the name of it, and from here, the access keys. And using these two pieces of information, you'll be able to create a share. So let me just show you the commands. So the first thing next is we have to authenticate to the storage account. All right, this is in PowerShell. Good. So we created a context, which is like a bucket for authenticated to a storage account. And now inside this storage account, I want to create a file share. I'll actually be calling it something else because I already created this file share. I'll call it PHP static. And take this command that just creates a share inside a storage account. You can see the context passed here. And there we go. Now we have a share inside our storage account. Now we have to take this share and mount it on the machines. So let's go to the machine, the first machine. This one. Remember, in the static folder, we created a file. I'm not sure you can see it. There we go. Hello.txt. When you mount an Azure file share inside the folder, it basically replaces that folder. So what we'll have to do is take this hello file, move it outside the folder, mount the share, and then move it inside the share. So I'll just take the hello text file and move it one level up. Okay. Good. 1 second. Great, so now we have the static folder. The next thing we have to do is make sure that the file share is mounted there. So file shares are accessed via a utility called sysutils. Usually most of the new Linux distribution, either Ubuntu or CentOS, come with sysutils already installed. But in case it's not installed, you'll have to get the package from the repository and install it yourself. And the next step is actually to decide where to mount the share and to issue the command that actually mounts it. I'll first show you the command here in the text file. So we have to mount. The file system is SIFS. It's a bit different from mounting an EXT partition. The next, you have to provide the URL to the file share, which is just the name of the storage account that you created, .file.core.windows.net/ the name of the share we created. So because we named our share PHP static, the URL will be /azure-php-files.file.core.windows.net/php-static. Next, we'll have to decide where to mount this. So we'll point it to the static folder we just created. Let's go inside the folder and get the absolute path to it. Okay. And then you have to provide the version of the SMB protocol that you want to use. At the moment, only version 2.1 is supported. The username that you'll have to provide in order to authenticate to the Azure file service, which is just the name of the storage account hosting the shares, and the password. The password is the storage account key that you also used in the PowerShell tools. All right, now let's take this command and hopefully it will mount the share inside our static folder. All right, let's see. Sorry. There we go. As you can see, the permissions for the static folder changed because I mounted it with 777 permissions. That's the default way of mounting it. And let's move the hello.txt file to the static folder. Good. Now we'll have to log into the, in fact, let's make sure that it's visible. Let's access it in the browser. There we go. It actually works on one machine. Let's make sure that's not present on the other machine. Well, I landed on the same machine. Okay, let's try again. Okay, let's actually go into the second machine and see that it's not present there. Good. Now, let's go to the Nginx root. Here. Oh, already had a static folder, sorry. Okay, now there's no static folder in here. What we'll want to do is first actually create the folder and then mount the folder, the Azure Files share on that folder as well. So we don't have to change anything. We can use the same command. There we go. Let's go inside that folder. And as you can see, we have that file. Any changes we make here, right, they'll automatically be reflected on the second machine as well. So as you can see, there we go. Let's fix this typo actually. And now it should also be reflected on the public website. So that's a very cheap way and easy way of just making sure files are synchronized across all machines. Right, there is one catch to it though. When you use the mount command like this, whenever a machine is restarted or destroyed and created again from the same disk, it will not mount the share automatically. So what you want to do is actually make sure that this share is automatically mounted as soon as the machine starts. So in order to do that, you just have to go to the FS tab file and to have a list of all the drives that are mounted when the machine is started. So you'll see here a list of all the disks you selected for your virtual machine. Additionally, you can have Azure files mounted as soon as the machine starts as well. The syntax is very similar to the mount command because this is basically mounting as well. So you just provide the URL to the file share. Of course, we'll have to change to PHP static. And then you have to provide the absolute path to the folder where you want the share mounted on. So in our case, it was /user/share/nginx/html/session. And then you select the file system, which is SIFS, the version of the SMB protocol, the permissions for dirs and files, and finally the authentication, which is the username and password we spoke about before. All you have to do is just save this file, and as soon as the machine is restarted, it will automatically pick the share and mount it for you. Okay, but what if you want to have PHP putting all the session data in one central storage? Wouldn't it be great if it did that automatically? Well, remember what I said. PHP stores session data on disk by default, and as Azure Files mounts stuff on the file system, you can just point PHP to one of the file shares. So we'll actually point it to the static file share now, but ideally you'll have to have a share dedicated just to PHP sessions. So what we'll do now is go edit the PHP init files on each server and we'll have to look for session.savepath, right? There we go. We'll just uncomment this, and you'll have to point it to something like, I don't know, /tmp/sessions. So if I have a file share mounted there, any session data that will be written by this machine would be available instantly to all the other machines. But you have to make sure that this setting is enabled for all the machines behind the load balancer. Okay, so this was achieving a scalable PHP application inside Azure Virtual Machines. For file uploads, all you have to change is just create a new share for uploads, and then when you move the uploads, make sure you move them to the folder that hosts the share. And that's it. It will be visible to all the machines instantly. Now, regarding Azure websites, if you recall, we have two major options for hosting our PHP applications. One of them was using PHP virtual machines, and in order to scale, we have to create a new virtual machine, add it behind the load balancer, configure it, and then make sure that it runs properly. For website scaling, it's a lot easier. All you have to do is actually select one of the hosting plans that supports scaling, and then you just have to slide a slider to the right and select the number of instances, which is basically machines, you want your website to be running on. You can only scale websites hosted in the shared, basic, and standard mode. You cannot scale websites hosted on the free tier for now. Okay, so scaling is just you have our end users hitting your one Azure website. You go to the portal or using the PowerShell tools or command platform tools, and you say, I want three instances. And in a matter of seconds, like I'll show you soon, you'll have multiple instances. Here, I decided that I want three instances. It copied the contents of my website to all the machines. It added the load balancer in front of it, and traffic is distributed amongst these machines evenly. Now, let's see how that is actually performed in practice. So let's start the screen sharing again and go to Azure websites. All right. So we have the website we created before. I've made just a slight change to it. If you can just browse to the website. So it was, if you recall, it was the info.php file. I've changed it. It no longer outputs the PHP info. It just says, hello, and this is the ID of the machine I'm running on. So what we want to do is go to the website, scale it, and see that it runs on multiple machines. Just to show you that right now it's a single machine, I'll just refresh the page, and not only that, I'll start it in incognito mode. It will have the same ID, right? So it ends with 00F. The prefix for all the machines is like this, but the suffix is different. All right. So it's, as you can see, it's the same machine. Of course, you can actually check here in the scale tab. As you can see right now, I'm running the shared hosting plan. Okay, there it is, the shared hosting plan. And I'm running on just one instance. What I want to do is have it deployed to, say, five instances. You can go as high as six instances here and as high as 10 instances for the standard plan. So what I'll do is just save this. And there it is. It's published to multiple machines. So when you scale up, you'll keep the machine you were running on, and it will add other machines. In order to check that, let's just refresh the page. As you can see, the ID of the machine has not changed. It's basically the same. But we should have other machines we're running on now. All right, let's see. There we go. We have another machine. So this one is with ends in 00D. So as you can see, 00F, 600F. This one is 600D. All right. Maybe I'll hit another one now. All right, still B. There we go. Now we have 6007, and if we do this multiple times, we'll end up with an evenly distributed number of IDs. All right. So that's how easy it is to scale. When you no longer need it, you just go to scale and you slide it down back to one instance. And that's it. As you can see, the site is still available. For now, that's with the 6013 instance. And it only took maybe 10 seconds to scale it up and down. Now, there's another feature that's pretty interesting called auto-scaling. Auto-scaling is only available in the standard plan, so only when you have dedicated instances, because it will spin up instances for you automatically. And what you can do here is, depending on the number, actually depending on how much CPU you use, you can have Azure scale up and down the website for you according to your criteria. So for instance, as you can see, I changed the standard here. You can select the instance size you want your website to run on. I'm pretty happy with small. And I can select specific schedules on how to scale my website. So for instance, I can say on weekdays between 8 a.m. GMT and 8 p.m. GMT, I want at least two instances, but no more than five instances. And off schedule during the night and in weekend, I only want one instance and up to three instances. So you can do that. You can set up schedules, but I will show you scale depending on load, which is you select CPU scaling, and then you decide the minimum number of instances you want. Of course, the minimum is one, and the highest number of instances you want. You can, like I said, you can go up to 10 on the standard plan. What I want is at least one instance, but not more than five. And how will it decide when to scale? Well, this is the next option. So when the CPU falls below 48%, this is what I chose, for the last, if I'm not mistaken, 5 minutes, it will automatically scale down the website for you by one instance, but not less than one instance, of course, not less than your minimum threshold set here. And if the average CPU usage for the past 5 minutes is more than 80%, it will automatically add another instance, but not more than five instances. Unfortunately, I won't be able to demo this today because it usually takes about 5 to 10 minutes of load that I have to generate in order to determine the auto-scaling. But you can try this yourself, and I highly recommend that you do. I hope you'll be pretty impressed. So you just save now, and then you start hitting the website for a prolonged period of time, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and just go to the website, and it will show you that in this graph here, it will show you the number of instances that it's currently running on. And you'll probably see a jump when it decides to scale up. Okay, so that's how easy it is to scale up Azure websites. If you want to scale up or down virtual machines, there is an auto-scaling feature, but unfortunately you have to create the machines by hand. So we cannot create machines for you. You have to have the machine already started. Let me just show you briefly here. So we have all the machines running inside the cloud service, of course. There we go. This is the cloud service, and you can go to scale. We already have two instances. In order to scale the machines, we'll have to have an availability set, which I have not configured for the moment. But when you configure an availability set, you'll see the same slider as in Azure websites. However, it acts a bit different, meaning that it will scale it up or down for you based on CPU or the number of messages in a queue. However, it will not create new instances for you. What it will do is actually start machines that already exist or stop them for you. All right, so this is scaling for both VMs and websites. Now, as a conclusion for today, remember, the main challenge for scaling PHP applications is having a centralized session and upload store. PHP is pretty scalable apart from that. So if you fix these two issues, if you're using sessions or if you're using uploads, which most of you probably are, you'll just have to find a way of centralizing these informations. And you have multiple options in Azure. What we saw today was Azure Files, which you can use for both sessions and uploads. Unfortunately, it's restricted to virtual machines. You cannot use Azure Files on Azure websites. The way to think about it is that it's very cheap and it's extremely easy to set up, as you saw today. You don't have to make changes to the application code to write to a different place. It just writes to a folder like it used to, but it writes to a synchronized folder now. Additionally, you have the Redis cache, which is used just for sessions in this scenario, of course. It can be used both by Azure VMs and Azure websites because it's exposed as an endpoint by Windows Azure. It's a low latency, high throughput cache, meaning you can write up to about maybe a few hundred thousand messages per second for the larger caches. So if you have high throughput and you want an in-memory store, Redis cache is the way to go. Additionally, you have Azure Tables, which is part of Azure Storage. This is a NoSQL solution offered by Microsoft. It can be used only for a session. You can somehow modify your code to use it for file uploads as well, but it's just not the right way of doing it, I guess. Azure Tables is a NoSQL store, like I said. It can be used both by VMs and Azure websites. It can be used via the PHP SDK, and I'll show you during our next webcast how to use it in order to store your sessions inside it. How it differs from Azure Files? Well, it's just as cheap. Actually, it's a bit cheaper than it, but both of them are extremely cheap. That I don't think cost is going to be an issue for anyone, but it's really highly scalable. So if you remember, I said that Azure Files offers about 1,000 IOPS per second, so 1,000 operations per second. Azure Tables can go up to 20,000 operations per second. So it's a huge difference in terms of scalability. Additionally, for your file uploads, you have Azure Blob Storage, which is just a massive file storage offered by Windows Azure. Just as with Azure Tables, we'll talk about this storage option in our next webcast. It can be used both for sessions and uploads, but it doesn't really make that much sense to use it for sessions. It's actually recommended for uploads, and it can be used both by VMs and websites because you connect to it using the Azure SDK that can be installed for both services. Just as with tables, it's really close to tables, actually, in terms of pricing and scalability. It's really cheap, and it's just as scalable. It's a few thousand operations per second. If I'm not mistaken, it's around 5,000 operations per second. All right. With that being said, please remember to try Windows Azure, and keep in mind that free trial is available. It's 30 days of free Azure resources for you, up to 150 euro or dollars. And with that being said, thank you for attending today. I will be answering all the questions you have via email. So feel free to drop me an email. You'll get my email after this session, along with the slides and all the commands I've issued to the machines. Once again, thank you for attending, and see you next week. Bye-bye.